Good morning. This is Alice Hamilton from Hudson Mohawk Indie Media Radio. And today we have an independent filmmaker on our show, Tom Jackson of Joe Public Films. And he is speaking to us from New Hampshire right now, but he will be in the area for a screening of his new film. And I'm going to turn it over to Tom to talk about Worlds Apart, his new film.
Okay. Thanks, Alice. The new one is called Worlds Apart, with a subtitle of 9/11 First Responders Against War. It basically focuses on a small group of New York City first responders who worked on 9/11 to save lives. But unlike lots of their colleagues, this little group has taken right from the beginning an anti-war stance. It was their feeling that continuing the cycle of violence was not the way to go about trying to eradicate terrorism, and that justice and vengeance were not the same thing. So they have gone on and formed their group, and there are some vocal members that are out there and that will speak publicly. But what wound up happening was I got in touch with the founder of the group, whose name is Megan Bartlett. She was an EMT on 9/11 at the Twin Towers. And she had decided pretty early on that that the group would go eventually to Afghanistan and reach out to Afghan first responders. As it turned out, that trip didn't happen until May 2004, and Megan Bartlett was the only one who wound up being able to go for a number of reasons, health concerns and families being afraid that, you know, something would happen to their loved one if they let them go off to Afghanistan and things like that. But it was still a great trip, and I was able to go along and do a pretty fair amount of filming and show her interacting with the Afghan first responders. And we also met with some families who lost loved ones when the U.S. was bombing in Afghanistan. And so that's a main focal point in Worlds Apart. But for other first responders who were willing to talk on camera, it was also a sort of forum for them to speak out and share, you know, their anti-war beliefs. I'm going to be screening that everywhere I possibly can. There will be a screening on Friday, October 28th at 7 p.m. at the Rosa House Catholic Worker, and that's at 2251 Old 6th Avenue in Troy. And then there's a screening Saturday, October 29th at 7 p.m. at the Bethlehem Town Hall, which is at 445 Delaware Avenue in Del Mar.
And you can find out about the latter one, I know, from the Bethlehem for Peace website. And tell us a little bit about Joe Public Films.
Well, Joe Public sort of started 6 or 7 years ago when I was taking some filmmaking classes at Boston Film and Video Foundation, and it's a little grassroots place in Boston. And I decided that I wanted to try to do something with video, especially. And at that point, I was doing a cable access show, basically interviewing different people. I interviewed Kathy Kelly from Voices in the Wilderness and some other activists that I felt weren't getting the airtime they deserved. And then from there, after taking some more courses, I had gotten so into concern about what the economic sanctions were doing to the people of Iraq that I decided to go with Voices in the Wilderness and do some filming. And out of that experience came my first documentary video, which was called Greetings from Missile Street. And that got a fair amount of attention. It was on Free Speech TV a bunch of times and made it into some film fests and things like that.
Screened it here. I saw it here. It was very moving.
I did screen it at RPI and a couple of other places in that area. And so from then on, I just felt as though I wanted to have some sort of, identification and some sort of web presence and that kind of thing. And it's a sort of collective, and there are one or two other filmmakers. There's one right here in Portsmouth who's just started a new project, sort of anti-war documentary that's going to be a Joe Public film, or Joe Public video, to be more precise. So, yeah, it's just something that I hope to keep going. And the name actually came from an inspiration from a song by The Clash, which is called Complete Control. And basically, you know, at the end of the song, Joe Strummer, the lead singer, shouts out, "This is Joe Public speaking, and I'm controlled in the body and controlled in the mind." And I thought the same idea that he had behind that back in the era of, you know, corporate media and corporate radio and corporate rock and roll that made him shout a line like that in a punk song really applies, you know, today, especially back when I started the website. You know, indie media was a brand new thing, and a great thing, of course. And it just seemed like, you know, now was the time for starting a sort of punk version of visual media through the web and through digital video, which has really revolutionized it. You know, you don't need millions of dollars to make a broadcast quality documentary video anymore.
And to kind of get the word out.
Right.
So what was the reaction of the Afghanis that Megan and you met when you were over there?
They were really enthusiastic, and I think that comes through in Worlds Apart. But to a certain extent, there was a little bit of a mix. I mean, they were really glad that Megan had come over and interested in you know, being filmed and seen with her and things like that. But it, in a way, it kind of depended on how long the Afghans had been doing rescue work. There was a brand new Kabul ambulance service that we visited, and with a lot of young guys, you know, as the ambulance drivers and EMTs and all that, and they were really enthusiastic. At the Kabul Fire Department, and this also comes out in the video, there were a lot of veterans who had been there for years and years, and their sort of reaction was, yeah, that's terrible what happened on 9/11. You know, they weren't unsympathetic, but at the same time, they would also add, and we've been doing our job as firefighters under siege, you know, under a state of warfare for 25 or 30 years. So, you know, we've kind of had it tough too. you know, there was a little bit of a difference there, but nobody was, you know, not glad to see someone from New York who responded on 9/11 come to Afghanistan. I think the general feeling was they were glad to have somebody reaching out and they appreciated it.
Who did you have broker the visit? Did you have contacts over there before you went over, or?
We had contacts through Global Exchange, and we stayed at the guest house that Global Exchange has in Kabul. There were two or three, you know, on the ground people from Afghanistan who were working for Global Exchange, who took us around to various places. And the folks there in Afghanistan were just incredible. One of them in particular, named Najib, was one of those people who just seems to know like half the people in the city. You know, we'd go in and you know, to go visit some emergency rescue facility or something, and on the way there, you know, we'd bump into five people that he knew, and it was just incredible. But he's the right kind of guy. You know, you want to be with somebody like that when you're in a place like Kabul, Afghanistan.
Now, the administration's pretty interested in spinning Iraq a certain way, and, you know, their vote a certain way and things like that. But Afghanistan is really this, you know, forgotten country that we invaded and killed people in. What did it seem like to you there?
Well, what you just said was exactly a part of what it seemed like. Many, many Afghans felt as though they had just been forgotten. And that goes across the board in terms of the people who we met and talked to, men, women, you know, whoever it was, whatever their livelihood was. We had so many people say, you know, where did everyone go? Why isn't there any sort of investment or anything going on here? I literally had a few people use the term Marshall Plan. They felt very much like they had been left behind and forgotten. On the other hand, they certainly don't want a full-scale occupation like there is in Iraq. And there was actually an expression that was fairly common that I heard several times while in Kabul in spring 2004 that Afghans said, which is, God gave Afghanistan mountains, God gave Iraq oil. So it's not lost on them why there's so much going on, much more going on in Iraq in terms of, you know, people being sent there from the U.S. and companies and so on. But that being said, again, I didn't hear anybody say that they wanted their country to be completely taken over. They would just like there to be some sort of, you know, investment and help going on. They're still one of the poorest countries in the world. They're still one of the most mined countries in the world. That's, you know, still a major problem there with landmines. And the general feeling was that, yes, getting the Taliban out of the seat of power was a good thing, but that was just one step where a whole bunch of steps are needed, and they really would appreciate some help with some of the other steps that are needed. And I also heard that emphasized with when we talked to various women in Afghanistan. We talked to Dr. Masouda Jalal, who was a presidential candidate, and we talked to a representative from the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, and both of them said, you know, things are not as rosy here as the Bush administration often portrays them to be, and they know, you know, what the Bush administration says, that things just haven't suddenly changed overnight for women in Afghanistan. You know, it's still not a safe place, still a very dangerous place, particular outside of Kabul. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of angles to it, and I guess it's the key is that, you know, when we hear George Bush or Condoleezza Rice or somebody like that talk about how wonderful things are in Afghanistan, yes, there have been some steps that are positive, and they're particularly evident in Kabul, but that's not to say that things are just great and everything's fine, even in the city of Kabul.
Well, it sounds like your movie will be pretty enlightening. How long is the film?
It's 59 minutes.
So just about an hour. And also, so you've been to Iraq as well, because actually some of your footage is in independent media in a time of war. How did the two countries compare?
Well, I mean, I was in Iraq during the sanctions era. Mm. The two times that I went were both in 2000. And, you know, there's definitely some significant differences, but I have to say, in terms of the sort of on-the-ground living conditions for people, the similarities were actually very striking. I mean, there's sort of squalor in the streets, and this includes Kabul. You know, I think, if anything, the infrastructure in Kabul might have even been a little bit worse as far as buildings go. There were still so many bombed-out buildings and, you know, just pockmarked with bullet holes and things like that, and that could have been from when the United States attacked. It could have been from, you know, the years of civil war. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's taken them years to even get to a point where they can think about, you know, rebuilding. On the other hand, I think some things like electricity and water and those kind of things are better in Kabul now, and were better a year and a half ago when I was there, than they were even in 2000 in Iraq. I mean, under the sanctions, that was one of the most crushing things, was the fact that our military in the Gulf War had directly attacked infrastructure, including the electrical grid, including water treatment, sewage treatment, things like that. And then one of the things that the economic sanctions did was prevent them from being rebuilt. So, you know, that's when I was there in 2000. It was really in bad shape. So I, you know, there's definitely some similarities and some differences. I think that in Kabul in 2004, there was a little bit more of a sense of freedom to a certain extent. And that's not to say, again, that everything was rosy, but there was, you know, a little bit of independent media going on there for people. You know, I picked up a copy of Kabul Weekly, which was this three-language weekly newspaper, and so things like that are encouraging. And, you know, I didn't see anything like that in Iraq in 2000, and quite frankly, I'm skeptical that I would see anything like that in Iraq in 2005 either.
Well, we thank you for bringing your film to Troy, Troy and to Del Mar. So again, it's going to be at Rosa House in Troy on October 28th, and then at Bethlehem Town Hall on October 29th. And there's information on your website as well, right?
That's right, and that's www.joepublicfilms.com. Joe, just J-O-E, publicfilms.com.
And so I want to thank you for being on. Anything you'd like to add, Tom?
No, I'm looking forward to being back in the area, and thanks a lot.
Well, we've been speaking with Tom Jackson about his new film, Worlds Apart, that is going to be screening in this area on the 28th and 29th of October. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you.